Fred Film Radio, this is Chiara Nicoletti from the 9th edition of Rome International Film Festival and Alice in the City, Alicia nella città, and today I'm with the directors and the producer of The Knife That Killed Me, screening here in competition at Alicia. So I'm with Kit Monkman, Marcus Romer, who are the directors, and the producer Thomas Mattinson. So welcome guys, thank you for being with us.
Thank you for the invitation. It's a great honour to be here at the festival, and it's a fantastic venue for us to show us our film and exhibit what we've been working on for the last 4 years now, 4 or 5 years really, so a long time in production.
So if I'm not wrong, the film is based on a book that was very successful. From what I read, it was that they were all expecting in UK the release of the film because the book was so good. So how did you start to get involved in the thing? When did you decide to do this film? And then we'll talk about the style of the film.
We were looking for an opportunity to make a film in this style that we had developed, which was about trying to get inside the head, inside the consciousness of our main protagonist. So Marcus and I had been talking about finding potential stories that could do that, and Tom and I had been talking about the techniques. And Marcus found the book, and it seemed to be the perfect story to wrap this stylistic approach around.
Yeah, so it's one of those things. I'm a theatre director by trade, and we found the book because we always tell stories that are around that age, that coming of age, that intersection between young person becoming an adult. And because we've all been there, and every single person's got a connection to it, it's one of those that really helps us to unlock the story. And as Kit says, the ability for us to be able to place that in the head of Paul Vardaman allows us quite theatrically, but also using the technology, to paint those pictures and to do those wonderful backgrounds, all the kind of information that we could build into that. So it really lent itself as a first-person narrative to make the film in this way.
So when did you decide that you wanted to do it with the green screen and all this and were you always sure about this genre and this style to be successful?
Well, I think, you know, we touched on this, is that the idea about making a film in a different way, using new cinema language, which it sounds very grand to make claim to having developed a new cinema language, but we've explored and pushed the boundaries of normal film production, and we use all sorts of techniques that aren't usually employed. And the idea of doing that was just an idea of doing that, and so the starting point for me on the journey was working with Kit was just about exploring what was possible and how to tell stories, and we were actively looking for a story that would work using that technology. And it wasn't until Kit was with Marcus and Marcus had optioned the book for a theatre show, did the kind of meeting of minds and go, actually this story is a very, very good one for us to attempt to make using these new developments, if you like, in cinema language.
The film, as in your adolescence life, forces you to the inevitable question, distinguish the right or from wrong, like what are the things that you what do you want to be in life, or what is the person that you want to be, and how to, especially in this case, how to define a friend and the way you consider friendship in this case.
Well, obviously, you know, the book, it was based on the book, and all of the kind of character arc and those moments in the lead character's life are in the book. You read it, it's a first-person narrative story. So when you read it, you feel, I'm there, I'm him, I understand this decision-making process, I remember what it was like. And it's that's that moment when, you know, as an adult, you can make a decision by thinking, some experience from the past and projecting into the future what the ramifications of what you might do are. And there's a moment in your life in that crossover between childhood and adulthood when you're making decisions for yourself, but you don't have all the ammunition in order to be able to think clearly about what that decision is. And it's all about that moment of going, what do I do? And unfortunately, you know, when you introduce knives or other weapons into those kind of situations, the enormity of the moment can completely overtake everything else about your life, which, you know, I think the book did phenomenally well, and I hope we've kind of done justice to, you know, with the filming techniques we've done, to make you feel as an audience that you're there as part of that decision making process. You're not watching somebody else do it and go, oh, I wouldn't have said that or I wouldn't have done that. It's about being on that journey with Paul and saying, oh, here I go, oh no, I think I'd have done that, and you know, I think hopefully we've been successful at that.
For the directors, do you think that being connected and remember what it was like to be an adolescent, to be a teenager, could help you during the script writing and the shooting of the film?
Yeah, I mean, I actually went to a school that wasn't entirely dissimilar to the school in that film, and I was lucky in that I didn't get bullied in the way that Paul did, but I saw that happening around me, and there was a culture of bullying in the school, and it felt like often a place where the adults were absent. Lots of the things that happened only in view of other children, and so you were living in this world that for the first time was your own, in the sense that it was no longer your parents or other adults, but it was pretty feral, pretty wild, pretty kind of primal, like a little jungle. And you know, and so you had to make those decisions all the time on a daily basis about when to confront people or when to confront a situation or when to withdraw and how to navigate your way through it. So yeah, I drew a lot on that in terms of that kind of paranoia and the visual style of the work.
One of the key things is that working with quite a young cast, for some people it was their first film role, to be able to work with improvisation and to have a real rehearsal sense, of a real rehearsal period. As I say, my background's in theatre, so the opportunity to work in a green screen box is very similar to working in a black box studio in a theatre, not dissimilar to the space that we're in now, where the actors feel very comfortable and at home working on a marked out floor. So we did think about Dogville and all those other things that we knew as reference points. But really what we were able to do is with the actors to build up a confidence with them, for them to be able to make some creative input into saying the things that they felt were right and appropriate. Because it's absolutely right that we wanted to make sure that the language sounded authentic. And it does sound very different from the book. The book is actually, you know, of one style. But to make them feel that these words were actually coming out of the mouths of those characters is absolutely key for me. So in that rehearsal process, being able to just make some little manoeuvres and little tweaks and little things and giving them that sense of ownership and also being part of this a creative, collaborative process. And you can't do something new unless everybody's on board and feel that we are on the same page and we are creating something together. So their creative input from them and also the visual effects team are being able to help to input into this particularly special project, because we knew that we were making something new. When you're making something new, there isn't a roadmap. We have to sketch the map. And sketching the map together is far more fun than someone saying, this is how the map goes, can we all follow? So that collaborative process is key for us.
That leads me to another question. What was the most challenging thing about what you said, like having to do something totally new?
Stop. I've got two directors. Nothing about this project is particularly normal. And I think one of the really major benefits that came out of it was you know, that because we weren't doing anything in the way that other films had been made before, there was never a moment where anybody could stand there and go, I know how to do this because I've done it before. And it generated this kind of team collaborative spirit amongst everybody. So it's not just having two directors and a, you know, producer who's very interfering and very hands-on. It was everybody who was part of that process felt that they were all contributing to, you know, what was a kind of genuine team effort. And you know, I don't know whether you saw earlier, the VFX team have come over with us for this event, because it means such a lot to everybody who worked on the film. And they were so much a part of the process. It wasn't a kind of, we finished shooting the film, now hand it over to a VFX company to paint pictures. They were with us while we prepped it, they were with us when we shot it, and they were with us throughout the post journey of creating these images. And I think it's the same for every department. We all knuckled down and said, okay, none of us know how to do this. Use whatever knowledge we've got and acquired over the years and apply it where we think it's relevant, and where not, we have to, let's get rid of it, let's do something else. So it was a challenge, but it wasn't one of those things where we all went, okay, I've been following a roadmap and now I don't know where to go. We never had one to start with. But if you like, I would say that the strongest, kind of the most overriding memory, because it's quite a while since we finished it, the overriding memory was not being able to see the film for such a long time meant that the distance between when we recorded the actors and their performances to when we were actually able to watch a cut of the film and say, does the story work? There was an awfully long period where we're all going, still might not work as a story. You may not engage with characters, you may not follow what's going on, because it was such a long time getting images that remotely resemble how they were going to end up. So I guess, you know, the biggest kind of unknown factor was, will the audience engage with it when we get to the end of this process? And normally, you know, a director's cut, you can go, it's there, the rest of the process will add to it and enhance it, but you kind of know from director's cut onwards you're onto something. And that's, you know, if you're lucky, 6 to 8 weeks after you finish shooting, and we're talking 6 to 8 months after we finish shooting. So, you know, it's a big change.
What was clear to me, though, is that we did see the assembly, which is all shot against green. And one of the key things for us that we kind of knew is that if the performances and the truthfulness of the characters wasn't there, then we could have dressed it up with the most amazing technology we'd have wanted, and it still wouldn't have worked. So we absolutely knew that we had to get those performances from some of those young actors to absolutely feel truthful and honest and within that world. And once we knew we had that and we had the coverage, and of course, you know, with the hindsight, we'd like to have gone back and reshot things, because everybody would say that. But actually, we knew that there were certain performances in there that we knew could hang together, and the story was being told in terms of how the script was structured. And the script had so many iterations, about 9.2 drafts in terms of its duration over 2 years. So we knew that we'd really honed it down, and we did a whole pre-visualization with some software to enable us to almost have characters moving around the space animated, so we knew that we were telling the story. And what we actually have ended up with is something which is not a million miles away. It's actually about not even a million feet away, but from actually what we originally set out from that structure. So provided we knew that we were being honest and truthful to the story, and we had some strong performances from those actors, we knew that that story would hang together. And then it's down to the wonderful creativity and the visual effects team of Kit and all of the team to be able to make that magic then sing and dance and come alive.
And as I told you before I started the interview, I know that today there was a standing ovation from the young audience. So I guess that, as I told you, that was your film was the perfect mix of three important things: a coming of age that we could all relate to, and obviously this super good teen actors that were, and the visual and style was perfect thing to even attract and new audiences, because one of the things the festival are trying to do is to create a new audience. We're building up the future audience for your films and our work. So technically, that's with your style, you created, you sort of participating in this, also in this.
I mean, as you said before, it's been a fantastic experience for us, and we're, you know, absolutely delighted to be here. And, you know, it is to get exposure for, you know, any independent making films is absolutely vital, and trying to get out to an audience out there and say, you know, all we want you to do is have a look at it. We're not going to say everybody, it's not for everybody, they're not all necessarily going to like it, but, you know, just getting it out into venues where people get that opportunity, and places like this are, you know, it's just fantastic and such a wonderful place. And it, you know, it really does feel like a festival. It's a real enjoyment of film, and to talk to, you know, the young jury who have, you know, such intelligent questions about what they've just seen is, you know, it's a real pleasure to be part of that. Yeah.
So what are you going to do next? What are your future projects, especially now that you set the roadmap for this new style? So you have so many possibilities.
Yeah, we do. We obviously, you know, we all have to earn a living, and you know, because the film is a very difficult film to get financed and off the ground, we've actually all been doing quite a lot of different things individually since we made it. And, you know, as Marcus says, he's a theatre director, and I think, how many theatre productions have you done since you finished?
Three.
So you know, and I've worked on a couple of small independent films that, you know, are nothing like this, and they're not what I want to do. And, you know, we have an ambition to do more in the same vein, but it's very difficult, you know, getting funding and getting the whole things together, because, you know, until you've got exposure for your last production and people start talking about it, you know, you start saying, here we go again, and they go, well, I haven't seen the last one yet. So, you know, again, this is fantastic to be here.
And I think we are really interested in I mean, as Marcus always says, you know, the story comes first. But I think what's really interesting about new technologies, particularly used in the way that I think we're trying to use them, which is slightly not in the way they were necessarily intended. You know, we're using visual effects in a way that most people wouldn't think about using it. And I think it's the attempt to try to find, you know, as human beings, we always want to find not just new stories, but new ways of telling stories. And I've always been very interested in all the work that I do across very different fields in this idea of collaboration, of creative collaboration between the work and the audience. And I think in the 21st century, that's something which everybody's more interested in. And I was just, you know, concerned that the visual effects language was so much about spoon feeding an audience with a directorial vision that they didn't really have much ownership of. And I just wanted to play around with this idea that we can use this technology to actually go back to that kind of theatrical tradition of building a relationship with an audience who have to come with their own imagination and be part of the creative process of making something.
It's aware that you're being told a story is, you know, one of the most enjoyable, I think, aspects that has come through in the film, and it works. You know, you read a book in a first-person narrative, you know you're reading a book, but you imagine you're the character. And I think, you know, we've scratched the surface with this film, but we think there's something there, and that, you know, you sit down and you have to commit, and you have to go, oh, that's different, it's not real. Where am I going to find where I'm at with this? And it's challenging, but I think if you make that leap and you go with it, then, you know, as hopefully proved today, you know, it crosses international boundaries as well as, you know, domestically in the UK. It gets, you know, a lot of the audience who see it up and excited, which is fantastic for us.
So thank you so much, Keith, Marcus and Thomas. I wish you all the best with this project, The Knife That Killed Me, and your future project. So I really hope to meet you again.
We will keep you in the loop of anything and everything we're doing. Because
you went to Rome and to the festival.
Yeah, we just love being here. It's a fantastic place.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And this is Chiara Nicoletti from the 9th edition of Rome International Film Festival, Alice nella Città, for Fred, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.